cut. Murray, out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield. It is. Oh, it's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous! It's Murray magic!
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ladies and Edelman Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, one of your hosts, JV, the only fantasy football podcast where you don't have to wear a mask. I'm got your hosts here, B-Pack, AJ, and special guest host, Sean Caleb. Say what's up, fellas.
Hello.
Hey.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is.
I feel like the mask comment was a little socially not sensitive.
Why? Because I just got tested for Rona? Bro, I was I was in there and the nurse came in and said, We're gonna test you. And the doctor
Can we talk about the most important thing this week?
What is that?
The only thing that matters. That Cal Poly sent an astronaut to the moon.
There you go.
Today, and it was not a UCLA grad. It was not a UC Berkeley grad.
It was
none other than Cal Poly. SpaceX. Read about it. Follow it on Twitter. I woke up and checked the headlines. And UCLA. They didn't even mention UCLA in the space exploration.
Bro, because they were in the sports column, homie. 37-10. There you go.
Bro, we're in orbit, bro. We're like Iron Man in orbit, and you're over here talking about Pac-12 that doesn't even matter. Never even matters.
This season.
Starting games in the Rose Bowl. Get out of here.
Yes, folks. Sorry we missed you last week. I was out with the flu. We thought it was the Rona. I went in. Symptoms. They gave me a positive screening saying go in and get tested. So I got tested. So the nurse comes in. Yeah, we're going to give you the test. The doctor comes in and says, bend over. And I'm like, oh, nice to meet you, Dr. Dover. I didn't know the Rona tests were that invasive.
You go by Ben, or is this Dr. Over?
People are friendly around here.
So I got the test, came back negative. They gave me the throat swab, which I heard wasn't as bad as the nose one, but B-Pack, you got the nose one.
All up in it. They were like, we've never seen such a deviated subject. He brought out like a clothes hanger to get around. I got to really get up there.
Oh, man. So, yeah. That's...
What? I'm joking. Nothing.
So yeah, that's why we had to skip last week, but we're back this week. And what's going on today, this week, fellas?
Yeah, real quick, let me just tell you guys. So my deal the last couple weeks has been kind of hectic. I've been dealing with LS, which is just life stuff. So I've got my daughter back in school. She's back for in-person school. That it's not easy. You have to go talk about these screenings. I had to get the COVID tests to get her back. So we've been dealing with that. And then all of last week, my son is applying for all these high schools and they have open virtual open houses every night of the week. So,
but you got to apply to go to high school,
bro. LS, it just gets in the way. You deal with life stuff. Fantasy what
you're in one zip code, you go to this high school. You're in another zip code, or I mean, how hard can it be? You just go.
No, bro, this is Oakland Unified.
you're either in 95688 or 95687.
No, bro.
Homeboy, this is Oakland Unified. You're talking private one or private two, independent one or independent two.
Is it like, do they vet you like the FBI, or you have to take a quiz? Have you ever had
background checks? Yep.
Yeah.
I filled out more applications for my kid getting to school than I did for my mortgage on the house. My mortgage was a handshake and a wink, wink. This is like W-2s, 1099s.
My goodness.
So anyways, that's where I've been. That's where I've been. But I'm back, boys. Let's do this.
All right. Anything to mention fantasy wise that's been catching your attention before we get into some of these segments here?
I mean, you guys, if you would indulge me, I'd like. I mean, I think if I could talk a little bit about my own win over Dr. Moyne,
if you may,
can I give you a quick story? So I had on the Moyne approached me with a trade request. This is a VL story here. And I know that the trade requests have to go through the commissioner. And I'm sitting there. I accepted the trade. Here's the trade. The trade was Zach Ertz and Jones. I don't even know his first name. Jones on...
Ronald. Yeah.
Ronald Jones. Ronald McDonald Jones on Tampa Bay. And I was going to trade Robbie Anderson, who's been one, you know, of the better receivers in the league. So I didn't even check the points. It's not what I do. I just do it by gut. So I approved it. And then I started sweating. I was sweating that BPAC was going to deny the trade and think that I was a total buffoon. And I'm not kidding you. This is VL. I actually called BPAC and he didn't pick up. And if he would have answered, I was going to tell him to deny the trade. I'm not kidding. Because I thought I got snookered. I looked at it. Zach Ertz was hurt. And Jones, I didn't think was, you know, may or may not have a good day. Robbie Anderson was a killer. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad he did not deny that trade because, well...
The rest is history.
The rest. It looks like I'm going to pull this one out.
Have we had a low score like that in like years?
No.
Save it.
Let's shelve that.
Okay. Let's shelve that. That's in this industry. We call that a shelf. Let's shelve.
Got it. We'll put a lid on that. Okay. For sure.
So I saw that trade come through and I thought that was the second worst trade of the season. Because when AJ gave JV a wedgie and he pulled the undies up over his head. No, here's the deal, guys. You guys are all grown men. Grown adults.
Grown man.
Grown man.
You guys can make your own decisions. I'm not. There's no vetoing trades.
No.
Even if you had called, honestly, if you had called and
said, "Is it too late?"
Once it gets to commissioner approval, it's just a matter.
He just blindly pushes buttons up there.
It's just a matter of when.
You couldn't do me a solid.
Look, unless you were an astronaut that went to Cal Poly. the first African-American astronaut to ever go in orbit is from Cal Poly.
Wait, that is the first?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, I thought it was in the space station.
You could have done it. BPAC, I'd like to know that if I called you, you would do me a solid.
Right? Isn't that right, AJ?
We've had like a dozen African-American astronauts, but he's the first for an extended stay on the International Space Station. Yes. That's legit. Wow. It's legit.
I really don't care about anything.
you guys had Blossom and Urkel. I think that's where you
did. I
stop.
Do that. Bro, Urkel was the man.
Sean, tell him about the time we went to a party.
Oh gosh, do we have to?
Maybe made appetizers.
maybe that's what they're referring to. Is we went to this party on a Friday night,
quote unquote,
all dressed up.
Friday night, the start of a weekend.
Friday night, we're all dressed up. B, back, and I had been in the car for, 4 hours?
I arranged the menu, the seating.
We were talking about, should we go to the Palace? No. Should we go to the Florentine Gardens? No. Should we go Bel Air?
Dinner at Ivy? No.
And JV's like, hey, let's go hit up this joint. Wait, hold on. Let me do JV. JV's like, hey, yo, let's go hit up this joint. Okay. So we get to this apartment and there was probably 4 people in the apartment.
Bro, there was not 4 people. They had some refreshments.
We thought this was the place that was holding the people to get on the elevator to go to the party. We thought that's what this was.
That was the pre-party? The pre-party.
We were used to parties at the Rock where you can't get in. This one, we had room to dance.
I started making a cardboard sign and I was going to start spinning the sign outside of Wilshire to get people into the party.
And then somebody came out with a veggie platter with
like
sour cream dip. With herbs.
That's what AJ is talking about, because I think BPAC, you took a bite of the carrot and you said this thing is to the moon. So I think what AJ is saying is the astronauts, it was to the moon. That's
the moon. That's right.
The dip at UCLA is all world. Anyway, I try to tie that in.
Good try. Right, week 10 of AJ's Beat Farm. We didn't do one last week. It's been a little spry lately, but I am excited about this week's recipient of the AJ's Beat Farm Award. It's not going to be me. I don't care what y'all say about what happened on Monday night.
It should be you.
It should be me, but it ain't going to be me because it ain't going to be no 2-time champion this week. No, our recipient this week is Dr. Moin Sala with his paltry 64.52 points. I mean, that's beat down, beat farm-esque.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Nice. He had one player in double digits, Devontae's. He had his whole Falcon starting lineup on the bench for the bye. He was predicted to get 120, so he barely got half of that. In the New England rainstorm on Sunday Night Football, he had 3 Baltimore players combined got 10.4 points. Meanwhile, Caleb gave him a fighting chance with a goose egg on Thursday Night Football from the Tennessee Titans defense, and that still wasn't enough. As Caleb talked about in the open, a convincing win, 111-64.5. So, Moin, you are on the week 10 AJ's Beat Farm bad beat of the week.
So that's
it should have been you, AJ.
So So that's the lowest of the season, right?
That is the lowest of this season.
Because
let's hold on that. I have a feeling someone's going to talk about this. Someone's been doing some investigative reporting.
Let's shelve that one, guys.
So have I, bro. Look at my notes. I got notes here. I'm doing some research.
Man, I have to say, to my honorable mention on the Beat Farm, watching my namesake Alvin Kamara just destroy the Niners defense, that was rough. Three touchdowns, come on.
Y'all saw that Brady, that Breeze hit? I saw that live. I was like, oh, man, that looks...
Oh, from street? Yeah.
Sorry, Caleb.
Maybe I should have taken.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, why? How can they flag him for that? Because he was making his football move. He was within two steps of getting Brady. And a guy that big, how is he supposed to, like, he's running through him. How's he supposed to
momentum
lighten himself? You can't stop a guy going that fast when he's already moving like that. I mean, he's gonna hurt Breeze, right? But I mean, that's why they call it football.
I think, yeah. No, I agree with you. He's just, you know, he's getting older. He's probably a little brittle and, you know, just crunch.
Well, I think I don't know if he meant to sell it, but obviously he was in pain, and I think that helped draw the flag, you know.
No, I think it's you can hit him hard, but you can't hit him too hard.
No, but they called a body weight, was that what it was? Body weight flag on him because he pancaked him. But I mean, how do you stop a guy going that fast? That big.
How do you stop him from charging? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, he was already there.
You take away his credit cards.
bro, he suffered, what, two broken ribs and a collapsed lung on that play.
Imagine if he landed on him.
Well, I thought he did. Isn't that? I thought that's why they flagged him, because he landed on him. No? He didn't land him on him all the way? Is that what you're saying?
Do you think, listen, I don't want to, at the risk of sounding sophomoric here, but if the air comes out of somebody after you land on them, does it sound a little bit?
Wow. You know what I mean?
Invited this guy.
Yeah.
Does it sound?
I thought you were going to tie that into, does it sound like breezy? Like Breeze. I thought that's where you go with that joke.
Special guest segments are going to get thoroughly screened from here on out.
All right. We're going on to craziest thing I saw this week. All right. Craziest thing. Don't you just love the amazing stories? Amazing stories.
That's soaring over California?
No, that's that's amazing stories from the 80s.
Oh.
You know, the Steven Spielberg executive produced?
Yeah.
It was like a Twilight Zone, but not as, you know, kind of creepy and scary.
I'm pretty sure that's soaring over California.
It could be. Yeah,
I found so many hidden Mickeys. I'm sorry.
All right. So, you know, I had some stuff queued up last week, you know, before, but I obviously succumbing to Corona Light. I'm going to skip some of the ones I noted here. So I have two this week that I thought were pretty crazy. One being the Jones 98-yard touchdown run. So the third longest in NFL history. If I had more time, I would have told you what the first and the second longest ones were.
I think it was Garrison Hurst on the Niners.
99 yards?
I remember.
I think that was like 99 from the end zone. He stiff-armed like some Packers on his way to the house.
I thought Tony Dorsett, had a...
Bo Jackson, 105 yards.
Bo Jackson's still running in that tunnel.
Hello.
Bo Jackson ran through Bosworth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz.
Bo knows.
Stone Cold. That was a great Bosworth film, if y'all haven't seen that one. no, wait. What's this? Yeah, it was Stone Cold, I think, was the name of that film. Then the number one craziest thing I saw this week was a catch for all seasons, a catch for all time. With what, like, I think 11 seconds left in the game between Arizona and the Niners. Kyler Murray scrambling around, dodges one defender, and then just rips one down to the end zone where he finds DeAndre Hopkins between three defenders and leaps, times it perfectly. Ah, the slow-mo is just crazy to watch. Times it perfectly, comes down with the ball, and wins it for the Cards with, I think, given 1 second left in that game. And before that, I'm sorry, it wasn't, was it the, not the Niners? Who am I thinking of? The Bills. Sorry.
Buffalo.
And before that, Josh Allen drove them 75 yards to come back and take the lead. And the Cards came right back. Amazing catch. Probably the catch of the year just because of the implications around it and the difficulty and the fact that it was at the end of the game. I think that's going to be the number one catch of the year. And that's the craziest thing I saw this week.
Is that my cue,
JV? I think you missed the craziest thing I saw this week.
Bro, this is the craziest thing I saw, not what I think you saw.
Wait, did you guys see? Okay, good job, JV. But did you see Nick Chubb break free for a 60-yard touchdown with no time left on the clock? And then he runs out of bounds instead of going into the end zone. And you go, okay, that's a great play or whatever. But let me riddle you this. The game, they were winning by 3 points. And do you know what the point spread was? 3.5 points. And Nick Chubb breaks away with no time left all the way to the end zone. If you had money on it, if you're in Vegas and you're like, yeah, we did it. You're buying steaks. Get that Kobe beef.
Wagyu.
You're at Nobu. Like another round for the boys.
Free range cattle.
Free range. Neiman Ranch. You're at Neiman Ranch. I'll take the prime cut. And then he makes that left turn. He should have made that left to Albuquerque.
Wait, so he didn't? Because I saw that it cost the spread, but he didn't score the touchdown?
No, he was gone. He was on his own. He was by himself. And instead of walking it in the end zone, and it wouldn't have even made a difference in the outcome of the game because they would have been up by 10 points at that point. And
yeah,
it was still a two-score game and only seconds left. But they just – he did a dog leg left and ran right out of bounds. And then they kneeled the ball on the next play. And that ended the game. And the only implications were the point spread and the fact that it was a 3.5 point spread. And the line at that point, the score was a 3 point difference.
Right, right. Why wouldn't he run the touchdown? And if nobody was around him?
Because he had money on the game.
That's what I'm thinking. I think his family bet the under. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
They bet the cover, not they didn't bet the.
Didn't Gurley do that like what 3-4 weeks ago, where he was trying to avoid it.
Fell in.
Maybe Chubb just had that back. Who knows,
bro?
You're right though. They were up by enough where it wouldn't have mattered.
No, it would. They said like it would. It would have made zero difference in the game. It was more of like
weird
fantasy implications and sports betting implications.
That is pretty crazy. I put that as probably I put that into number three because it's crazy the fact that like he screwed over the people in Vegas in the spread, and maybe he had money on it, so he stopped. It ran out of bounds. But I still like Jones's 98-yard touchdown and Hopkins. All right.
The Hail Murray.
Yeah. Hail Murray. Crazy. Come with C.
They're saying he might be MVP.
But JD, you were saying the other play was the best catch you've seen.
Oh, Hopkins?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best catch of the year.
Speaking of catches, try Walnut Creek Lighting, where you can catch us with our prices. We're staying at the top by keeping our prices at the bottom. So come to Newell Avenue and you'll get lights by Walnut Creek Lighting. Sorry, I had to get that read. The live read.
But you're supposed to be like, I tried Stitch Fix and everything fit perfect. Sean's Stitch Fix is on the way. If you need clothing picked out directly for you, you go to stitchfix.com.
What? Be packed in a fool. What? Be packed in a fool. What? Be packed in a fool. What? Cal Poly sent a man to the space station and not UCLA.
All right, what's up, fellas? Welcome to week 10. Week 10's Be Packed in a Fool. Look, I had a laundry list of managers and players that I was contemplating throwing into this Be Packed in list. I had 3 weeks of you guys just wiling out. I had text messages. I had tweets. I was going to go deep in the archives. And then something happened this week. And you guys know what I'm talking about.
We do.
This week's Be Packed in a Fool is none other than Moyne. You see, guys, I know Moyne. I know how Moyne thinks. Moyne's been riding high. His team has been looking unstoppable. His president won the election. He's out there fighting COVID, all of it. Moyne's living it. He's on top of the world. And when he saw his matchup this week, he was like, let's go. He was like, I've got Caleb.
Too easy.
And Caleb is starting two Giants players. And he got 0 points from his defense on Thursday. Moyne was already counting this win. Now, backstory. For those of you that don't know, Moyne and Caleb have, well, let's just say they have a rivalry. They're like Batman and Bane. Caleb is like, where's the detonator? Anyway, Moyne scored not only the season low with 65 points, but it may be the lowest score in league history. I went back in the archives, you guys. I went back in the last, however many, 15 years. Actually, in 2017... and in 2016, Papa Cadman, both in those years, both he had games where he scored only 57 points. So it's not the record for the least points ever. Papa scored 57 in 16, and he had a game when he scored 57 in 17.
Papa got a brand new bag.
That's low.
But this week, Moyne is Be Packed in a Fool. For sure. I actually thought there might be a Tuesday night game that I don't know about because that couldn't have been his final score. I thought he still had guys going. Hoo-wee. All right, Moyne, you get Be Packed in a Fool.
He had one touchdown for his entire team. Like, that's what it takes. You literally can't score touchdowns to get that type of low score.
That really is low.
Listen.
You merely adopted. I was born in it.
Moyne, don't listen to them. I got nothing but love for you and your team.
And for Ronald Jones that you...
70 points.
That you stole from him?
We've all been there. Get low, get low, get low, get low to the window! To the wow! To the... Never.
Bro, I'm sitting at 2-7 right now. I mean, talk about low.
I think you, JV, might be the only team that is eliminated from playoff.
Mathematically?
Really?
Am I mathematically eliminated?
You're going to go to 2-8 or are you going to be 3-7?
No, is it 2-8 already? Oh yeah, it's week 10. 2-8, homie. 2-8.
I think you are mathematically eliminated. You are the only one, probably. We're not going to have a 10-win team this year.
I don't think that's right. I mean, I just because the leader of that division is only 3 games ahead of me. Right. So
yeah. So BPAC. Yeah, BPAC's at 6-4 now, and I'm at 2. No, I can't. Yeah, I can't win because we only have 3 more games left. So
you're eliminated, homeboy.
Wait, what is it? Tell me again. We have 3 more games, and then the playoffs start.
You know what? It's possible. It's
state of the union here.
Possible.
They're adding. AJ told us they were adding a week.
But that doesn't. But that still doesn't impact how we do our thing. We still have 13 regular season.
This season has an asterisk already.
It has an asterisk. If I don't win, it's an asterisk. Hey, can you tell me, this might be good. So we're going to go 3 more weeks, and then who makes the playoffs again? Is it the winners of each division plus the top 2?
3.
Plus the top 3 records, or is that right? Records?
Top 3
after
records.
After that, yeah. Yeah.
With points being the tiebreaker after that.
So UCLA division could actually have 2 of those 3. Going into the playoffs.
It's possible they could have four. Yeah.
Three of the 3.
Okay, so it's still...
No, they could have 4 of the 3 if they...
Look how bunched up we are. Right. This is probably, I would go out on a limb to say, this is probably the most stacked top to bottom with the exception of JV's horrible team. No offense. That we've been. Right? And wouldn't you agree?
Well, and Jeremy won that. He's 1 game back. There's 3 6-4s and he's 5-5. In that division. That's crazy.
So I know it's Monday and I'm a Monday morning quarterbacking, but I looked at like who I had left in my lineup and if it would have made a difference, and it wouldn't have. It would have been one of those where I was like sweating it out on Sunday night, hoping somebody gets a catch, because he won 146.06. If I had started the other players who got more than their counterparts, and I would have had 145.32. So I still, you know, would have lost, but at least I wasn't, you know, worrying about it on Sunday night, you know.
Fantasy is all about luck, dude. It should be called luck football.
Luck football. See, B in the Berkeley division, you got a 2-game lead.
Comfortable.
So you're looking pretty nice there. And then in the Cal Poly division, we have 1-6-4 and 3 5-5s.
That is tight.
So there's going to be some people. Yeah,
and
it's going to be interesting.
AJ, I think division play starts next week.
One more non-conference.
We've talked about this. Y'all need to change the schedule before we start. Power rankings, though, Moyne's number 1 this week. He'll probably drop after that. AJ, number 2,
I'll probably drop.
Sports Gal will probably drop. Papa Cadman probably go up.
I think Papa's going to probably be at the top.
I don't know. I think it might be. I think Moyne might still be, because it's points. He's got total points.
If he's going to drop, he's probably going to drop. Not that far. He's still going to be at the top. Oski will go up.
Maybe he wins on breakdown. Yeah.
And Jeremy will go up. Casey Nima will go up. Mo Cox will go.
John 316.
Drop down.
Casey, say.
Raider Nation will maybe stay where they're at. And, I'm comfortable at 12. That's all right with that.
So, just looking at division, division records. Perkins is 0-3 in his division. So he has the hardest uphill climb to get out of that UCLA division.
Yep.
Moyne, Linda, and Papa are all 2-1 in their division. So tie breaks in the division ranking would go down to division matchups. Is that right?
That's true.
Say that again.
Or is it just points? So division record doesn't matter.
No, there has to be a tiebreaker.
And I think it's
points. The tiebreaker is points.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're saying if it's the same record within...
division record doesn't matter?
Yeah, well, we decided that before, that I think it's points and not division record. Right. Even though that should factor in maybe somehow, but I don't know. I think because we're a points-heavy league, and points is so important, I think that's why we did that.
Division winner tiebreaker. Ties for division winner are resolved using standings tiebreakers. Standings tiebreaker. Ties in the standings are resolved in this order. Winning percentage, which really is irrelevant because we all play the same number of games. Total points.
Total points.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah. Sounds, so division record doesn't matter. So that actually benefits Perkins then. So if Perkins ends up in a tie with, like right now he has before tonight's games, but he has more points than Linda has scored. So he could, if they tie and score, he would pass Linda in standings.
Which it really, I mean, you know, a point for discussion. Then it, you know, it kind of, what's the use of divisions? Then we're not going to have, right. You know, if divisions doesn't really make a difference. Well,
the one use of divisions is to establish three playoff teams, regardless of record.
Yeah, but you could do like two big ones. You could do 6-6, right, and do it that way if you want. I know we've talked about that before in the past. I always like the three divisions.
What? I think we should do four divisions of three.
Are you guys looking at the standing? Yeah. What's the total point? Is it PF or PA? PA.
PF.
Point bro, four. Yeah, come on. Bro.
PA points, points against.
It's PF.
PF points yeah. four.
Well, what's PA?
Points against. Again.
How many you've been scored on?
What's POOP?
What's OPP?
OPP.
EOP. Terrible.
Okay, I have another segment if you guys have time.
Oh, yeah. Is this hot or not? Or should I be concerned?
It's a new segment. We're moving away from concerned or not. We have a new segment. So, guys, we have a new segment this week. It's called Real or Not. It's when we throw fantasy football managers to the judges to determine if their record is real or not. First on the guillotine is none other than Nima. Nima's current record after this week is 5-5. He has 1 week of being the highest score of the entire week of everybody. And he's dead slap in the middle of the Cal Poly division. Do we think Nima's 5-5 record is real or not? I guess what I mean is, do you think his team is good or is he overachieving at the moment?
I don't know with Nima's team. I'm looking at the stats here. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say no. I don't think he's for real. He's not gonna make the playoffs.
I think he's got a legit chance. I mean, if you look at how many points he's scored the last like month, 133, 122, 166, 133. I think he's got a shot to sneak in as the six. I think he's real enough.
I was trying to play the Skip Bayless part there.
Nice.
I think his future will rely on whether or not Christian McCaffrey, would you guys agree with that?
Ooh.
Plays. Look, if he has Christian McCaffrey, he's got Rodgers, McCaffrey, McKissick, Shark, Robinson.
Are you just reading players off his team? Oh,
if he gets Christian back, I think he's got to run at this thing. He's real. But if Christian, there's no way you can limp into the playoffs with his running backs.
All right. I think the kid is real, and here's why. I think Aaron Rodgers is going for that MVP. I think he's heard the rumors about Russ. He's heard the rumors about Pat Mahomes, Hail Murray. He's heard it all. And Rodgers is here to say that the belt still stays with him. Nima's receivers, A-Rob is a target magnet. He gets fed the rock. J.D. McKissick, he must have nudes on Alex Smith or something, because Alex Smith keeps feeding him the ball. Doesn't want anything weak.
Compromising pictures.
Yeah, he like in the first half he had 12 targets. He got super lucky with Nyheim Hines this week. Mm-hmm. Got him a grip of points. But if McCaffrey comes back and if Golladay ever gets healthy, I think this kid's team is legit. I think Nima's team is real. Boop, 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 boop.
Ooga. This is all what right. happens.
Next on the Real or Not is none other than my co-host, Sean Caleb.
Real.
Sean Caleb's current record is sitting at 5-5 after an impressive, impressive win this week. A statement win, over the number one power ranking manager, Moyne. Caleb just lost Drew Brees, which is okay because he wasn't that great. Anyways, is Caleb's team real or not?
Can I be real?
Be real, real son.
Where are you? Caleb's got how many wins so far? He's got a two game win streak.
Yeah.
I gotta look at the schedule too.
I'll tell you how real Caleb's team is. He just got $100 bottle of wine from me.
The season's a win for him.
I guess if Jones can keep it up, right? But, you know, 98-yard touchdown.
He doesn't even know Jones's first name.
Dr. Jones.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana.
I would say, Caleb, I think you're going to need some help, though, at the quarterback spot with Breeze gone.
Got Derek Carr.
It depends. I mean, Derek, he's a top five quarterback right now, but, you know, when they're running the game, when they got the run game going,
JV's takes are like this. It depends, Caleb. It depends if you win or lose games.
Bro, you were telling me I analyzed too much. Wrap it up. That's why I said, I don't think Nima's for real. Move on. Next one. Caleb,
all right, here's my take on Caleb.
I'll go on a limb. I'll say Caleb's for real. I think he'll make the playoffs.
Wow.
AJ, go.
Not for real. Not making the playoffs.
Next. All right. I'll go. Here's my take on Caleb's. I think Caleb's got lottery tickets. He went to 7-Eleven, bought some scratchers. He picked up Antonio Brown, hoping he was going to be Brady's new go-to receiver. He got Wayne Gallman, hoping he's going to be lightning in a bottle. He got Ronald Jones. So he's out here swinging for fences with these lotto tickets. When in reality, if Eckler ever gets healthy, if Chris Carson comes back, and if Tyreek Hill gets back to being the cheetah that we know he can be, Caleb's team can put up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, quarterback is the position that you could lose a player and you could pick up a player just as good if you get if you pick up the right guy, like
Fitzmagic.
If you pick up Fitzmagic or the kid from Miami, he could get you just as many points.
Oh, Tua. Yeah, there you go. Tua's on fire right now, Caleb.
And so
it's real.
I think Caleb's team is real.
There you go.
Yeah, Hill's on a bye this week, right? So he gets Hill back, finds a quarterback. The team's not bad.
Listen, guys. B-Pack and I think, I'm pretty sure this is the truth. in the draft had 11 and 12. And when we were drafting, you had to sort of pick, do you go running back heavy? Do you go receiver heavy? And I'm saying in BPAC's case, Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon, you know, he may end up riding Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon and he picked up Riley. For me, I may end up riding the backs of Austin Eckler and Carson. I think it'll be interesting. I will say suspend judgment right now, but we have to probably go back and see whether or not the stronger running backs in a PPR league did better. But I would say my future is pretty much Carson and Eckler dependent.
Wait, who was your second pick? You took Tyreek in the first.
Yeah, Eckler.
Oh.
But then I had to pick, you know, and then I had to pick Chris Carson. I'm just saying, two stud running backs or two wide receivers. I mean, this is sort of the debate right now. And it looks like.
But you didn't get two wide receivers.
No, well.
You drafted Hill first. And then B, you drafted Sanders, and then you drafted Mixon.
You went running back. I went wide receiver, running back, and then running back after that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that leads me to the third ready. Is it real or not? Is your boy BPAC. BPAC's team is 6-4. Now, BPAC, I think, got incredibly lucky and went 5-0 to start the season. He's lost two bottles of wine to bets. He's paid for freight, shipping, and insurance on those bad boys. But hey, let's call a spade. He's sitting on top of his division, and he's had injuries. Joe Mixon's missed games. Miles Sanders has missed games. Calvin Ridley's missed games. I mean, you're talking your top three players all injured. And BPAC had the 12th spot in the draft. His pick was so bad that they literally gave him another pick right afterwards to be like, we understand. They go, poor BPAC. He's picking way down here. Here, let's give him two picks. So is BPAC's team real or not?
This is a tough one.
Very tough.
Okay, I will say real. I will say this, and then AJ, you go. But I think again, if you can get Calvin Ridley was the number one receiver. I'm pretty sure next to who's the guy in Seattle?
DK.
Yeah, DK Metcalf.
Yeah, Metcalf.
You're smoking crack.
I'm pretty sure Metcalf is like the number one receiver. Look at it again. Look it up.
I think he's not even in the top four or five. It's definitely
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, man.
It's Julio
and Devontae are definitely one and two. And I think DeAndre Hopkins is number three.
I mean, I may be wrong, but it doesn't feel right to me.
All right, I'm looking it up. Go on. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, so I think that if you can get Ridley back and you can actually get Joe Mixon back, you would be for real. Those are the two pieces that if you do not get them back, might be tough.
What about Amari Cooper?
When the moon hits your eye?
I mean, no one in Dallas is startable until next year.
I'll say this.
Comes back.
Yeah, it's true. I'll say this. If the Steelers continue to play like they're playing right now and Ben is just balling out, I think with Ridley and the rest of Beast team, I think it's for real. I think he's for real.
These six wins.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6. Count these wins.
You had four in a row that you lost.
Bro, I'm lucky to get out. I'm lucky to be six wins. I thought I was looking at 5-5. Sean, so here's the wide receiver scores this year.
Oh, Fuller number House.
One, number one most points is Stephon Diggs. Number two is Devontae Adams. Number three is actually Tyreek Hill. Number four is DeAndre Hopkins. And number five is DK Metcalf.
I was going to say, you know, speaking of teams and managers, have you guys ever seen the manager stats? This is kind of interesting. when you look at where, you know, the overall and the breakdown, the power rankings, playoff race, they have manager stats, correct decisions. BPAC, correct decisions 3 out of 5, total coaching risks, success rate 600, points earned or lost 38.5, 2 perfect lineups. Papa Cadman has 4 correct decisions out of 5 total coaching risks for 800% or 0.0800 success rate. AJ, 3 perfect lineups. Look at that. And you're 1 for 1 in your correct decisions total coaching risks. John 316, 3 correct decisions out of 7 total coaching risks. For 2 point. For 2.3 points earned.
Coaching risks means you went up, you against the estimates, the predictions of CBS, you picked a lower projected player and that person scored more than the other guy.
Yeah.
So your decisions led to 39 points earned.
Yeah.
Which is the highest. Yeah. You took the risk and you won, and you won the most out of anybody, as opposed to like
Bumble with the B.
Like Jeremy, you know, only 1 out of 5, and that cost him 35.
It cost him 35 points.
It cost him 35. He's minus 35.
Successful. He doesn't even know what he's doing.
Yeah. And perfect lineups is deceiving. My bench isn't that good. So my starting lineup's always going to look better because my bench isn't that good.
Yeah, it's just an
itch. What you're saying is manager.
Sorry, go ahead.
You're saying manager stats back the decision that BPAC's team is real.
Yes. I think that's what JV was saying.
I guess so. Sure. I was just pointing it out. I hadn't seen this before, the manager stats. I thought it was interesting just how they track that. I myself have had no correct decisions and have taken no risks. And I think it shows. But yeah, Jeremy's down there at the bottom, negative almost 35 points. Linda is down there too, negative 25. 2 of 5 decisions there, 1 perfect lineup. But just throwing that out there if people were interested in seeing that. All right, any last parting words or anything else we want to discuss here?
3 weeks to go. It's getting crazy now. There's a log jam of 6 and 4s and 5 and 5s and...
And 4 and 5s. Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 5 and 5s. Yeah, I'm looking
AJ,
at... Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're getting towards the end of the bye weeks also.
Right? They go all the way to week 13. Oh, Tampa Bay has week 13 byes.
Is that because of COVID?
No, that was their original bye week.
Man.
Who got switched? Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee, maybe?
Right. Okay, all right.
Okay.
There's still some byes
going to have an impact on things.
Ground control to Major Tom.
7. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for joining the Ladies in Edelman Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, BPAC, AJ, special guest host Caleb, maybe joining us again next week, and myself, JV. So thanks again for listening. And remember, we'll see you at the game.
Peace out, guys.
See you guys.
Later. This is Ground Control.